a brighter day is here. Good morning, may we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Oh my God, I think I heard fog in the weather report. No, boo, we don't want fog. We want the nice weather to continue. Welcome to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. MZ here. And we promise you that we will be having a spicy program that will be well worth your time during the next 2 hours. So keep your dial tuned at 1080 AM.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
It's no secret that instructors and administrators at U.S. colleges and universities tend to be predominantly, probably 85%, left-wing politically. So it should not be at all surprising that students who attend these institutions tend to start out and become even more left of center, right? Okay, now suppose you have a situation whereby a speaker from an opposing political perspective wants to speak on campus but is discouraged or even prevented from doing so because of politics. Is this acceptable to you? Is this a free speech issue or a forced speech issue? Interesting question. Recently, a retired UC professor has spoken out against the common practice of suppressing alternative points of view at UCSC. And this person, UCLA Professor Emeritus Lila Beckwith, will appear, along with UCSC Administration Representative Liz Irwin, on the KSCO special. Don't miss Balance or Bias at UC. What will it be this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Make 'em Do the Right Thing Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. And it's now 8 minutes past 10 a.m., hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special with MZ. I'll move right to the introduction of our guest. I believe we have, I said Lila on the promo. It's really Lila Beckwith. You'd think we would at least get the pronunciation of our guest correct here. I'll probably be going back and forth throughout the whole 2 hours, but Lila has assured me that that's okay. Lila, welcome to the KSCO Saturday Special. I think we can bring Lila up there, Noah, if we can, so that we can hear her.
Do I speak louder then?
Okay, good. There's Lila Beckwith. Now let's introduce. Now Lila, as the promo said, is a retired UCLA professor, now living in the Santa Cruz area. Today, however, she is on the telephone from the Los Angeles area, and we are pleased to have her aboard here to do a two-hour radio program on this very intriguing topic. We are also very pleased to have with us Liz Irwin from the UC Santa Cruz administration. Liz, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Hey, good to hear you here on AM 1080 KSCO. You and I have been acquainted for quite a number of years.
My pleasure, indeed. And I want to reassure you that it is not foggy in Santa Cruz County today. It's a gorgeous day.
Oh no, no! I heard fog in the what do you call it? The forecast.
Maybe so, Lila. What's the weather like in Los Angeles?
Thank you. It is beautiful as always.
Okay. Well, I think what we'll do. I'm hearing some little bit of feedback from Liz's line, so Noah, you know what we're talking about. I think we'll go ahead and transfer Liz to line 8. Liz, perhaps you can listen to Lila on the radio while we're reconfiguring the phone situation here, and I will ask Lila to tell us your background a little bit. We know that you're a retired professor. What is your field, Lila?
I'm a retired professor of pediatrics, and my field is child psychology.
Okay, and you have never taught at
UC?
Am I correct that you have not taught at UC Santa Cruz?
You are absolutely correct.
Okay.
I am a private citizen in the Santa Cruz area.
Okay. And how long have you been a resident here, and how is it that you have become affiliated with UC Santa Cruz in any way so that you new to be concerned about what you're concerned about?
No, actually, I became affiliated with the synagogue in Santa Cruz and met UC Santa Cruz faculty there, particularly Tammy and Elon Benjamin, and they alerted me to the problem on the UC Santa Cruz campus, and I worked with them to try and redress the imbalance.
Okay. In your words, what is the problem at UCSC?
Okay. Well, I'm going to speak to a specific problem, and that is that for several years, clearly anti-Israel speakers and events have been presented on the UC Santa Cruz campus, some of which have been partly funded or completely funded by UC Santa Cruz, which means that taxpayer money went to funding those events. And there has been, until we banded together to make an effort to present the other point of view, essentially a pro-Israel point of view, it was not present on the UC Santa Cruz campus.
I'm sorry. Are you still there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, I'm sorry. So I had to deal with something on the telephone here. So you think you are well on the way to solving the problem?
No, we are not. We are working very hard to bring another point of view, to bring lecturers to present another point of view. But mm-hmm. we are funding it out of, you know, our community pocket, not with taxpayer money. Mm-hmm. You know, we are grateful to UC Santa Cruz that they allow us to present these speakers on UC Santa Cruz sites so that faculty and students at UC Santa Cruz, as well as the community, can attend these events.
Right.
But
okay.
It seems very strange to me.
That?
It does not seem correct to me that a university funded, you know, from taxpayer money, on its own, presents only one point of view.
Okay. Well, I don't think too many people could argue with that. That's basically the problem in a nutshell. What do you think? Give us a call at 479-1080 or 477-1340. We should have Liz Irwin back online from us on a telephone that does on a line that does not feed back here. So let's see if we are correct. Liz, are you there?
I just returned, and I regret that I've missed much of the prior comments.
Basically, all Leela said was that a taxpayer-funded institution should be required to provide alternative points of view, not just one. That's basically all that was said.
Boy, I couldn't agree more. In fact, I
completely... That's what I thought you would say for some reason, and so... Where do we go for the next 2 hours?
Let me put it another way. I completely disagree with the idea that only limited perspectives are presented at UC Santa Cruz. It may be that there is no general agreement with extremist points of view, but lack of agreement does not constitute a lack of freedom to examine those ideas. In fact, I suggest that it could be that the opposite is true. Some have said that by conducting a campaign of false accusation and intimidation, it could be that a small group of activists are attempting to silence open and critical inquiry at UC Santa Cruz. I did hear one point that I'd like to clarify immediately, the contention that we are a public institution, true, but that everything that occurs on our campus is taxpayer-funded. As it turns out, some of the sponsors of public fora on campus are actually funded by private grants, and in particular, highly competitive grants that come from organizations such as the Carnegie Corporation. So it is misleading to suggest that everything that happens on the campus is funded by taxpayers.
No, I understand.
Okay, I think Leela.
Because actually, you know, as I said, I have been working with a group of people, and we have presented one lecture on the UC Santa Cruz campus. We are going to present two more this spring, and we are funding it. UC Santa Cruz is not funding it.
Right.
Now, of course, taxpayer money goes to the fact that we're using the site at UC Santa Cruz and we're using facilities.
Right. And to me, that in itself suggests...
Yes, may I ask you?
I beg your pardon. You know, I'm having trouble, Michael, with the connection.
Yeah, this is the worst phone connection I've never heard a worse phone connection here. Leela sounds like she's just in a muffled thing.
Right.
It's almost like you've got cotton on your telephone or something.
I'm afraid I might have interrupted. It's only because I thought you were through speaking. I apologize. Is it possible to speak up a little more? Because I really want to hear what you have to say.
Of course, I'm going to try. I am very sorry.
Go ahead.
So, I think Leela was speaking.
Leela, can you hear us?
Thank you.
Yes. Leela, you have to speak up because there's too much silence when we talk to you. We want to hear what you have to say, but we want to be able to understand you. For some reason, the telephone that you're on is really muffled.
Yes. Thank you. I apologize for that. Liz, I would like to know how much public funding did go into bringing anti-Israel speakers to the UC Santa Cruz campus over the last years.
Oh, well, first of all, it's hard for me to define what you would characterize as anti-Israel speakers. But let me tell you about a program that was operated with the co-sponsorship of a number of campus organizations. And again, many of these are funded by highly competitive grants awarded by various foundations to elite universities around the country. And one of those events was called UCSC Israeli-Palestinian Dialogue, Perspectives on the Conflict. It was held in November a year or so ago, and it was actually initiated in part by the University Religious Council and intended to bring forward a wide range of perspectives. Let me just give you an example of the expectations that were set out for those speakers and participants. And this was in writing as well as a part of each of the presentations over a 5-day period. What was said was the main purpose of this event is to bring people together to explore values of spirituality and commonality, as well as listen to radically different perspectives on the origin of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Our goals are to create better understanding among all parties involved and to pursue conflict resolutions by means other than violence. With an expectation of civility, tolerance, and respect, generalizations about any of the parties in the Middle East conflict will not be allowed. Statements such as, all Muslims are violent and fanatics, or all Jews are oppressors and occupiers, are in violation of our commitment to dialogue. Speakers should be informed and articulate and be aware that they will be speaking to a mixed audience of students, including Muslims, Jews, Christians, and others. So that's the kind of an environment in which we expect to exchange a broad perspective of ideas.
Well, that sounds reasonable to me. What about to you, Leela?
Deeply reasonable to me. I appreciate that. But I can give you the names of some of the anti-Israel speakers that you have had on campus.
And when you say anti-Israel, help me to understand how you define that. What is that? What does that mean?
That means that both points of view are not considered and that they are not considered dispassionately. I mean that a politicized ideology is presented. A political perspective is presented. that there is that there was not diversity and civil discourse with a marketplace of ideas. What you have just talked about, Liz, was extremely important. We all agree that is what should be on a university campus. But the fact that that occurred, which is terrific, should not cover up the fact that UC Santa Cruz has also had not one, but more than one, single speakers who presented only one political perspective, and it was clearly anti-Israel, and did not examine in a dispassionate way.
You know what I think might be a good idea? I don't know if Liz has, I'm presuming that Liz has not had the opportunity to hear Kay's most recent commentary on this subject, which is what spurred this Saturday special. Am I right, Liz?
You mean Kay's Whirling?
Yes.
I'm sorry to say I have not heard that.
It's probably a good thing to do right now to just sort of pause for a few minutes here and play that commentary that has been playing for the last week or so on KSCO. So, Noah, if you can bring that up now, I don't know if you need to spend a minute or two finding it.
I got it,
right there at hand. Good. Let's go ahead and play that right now, and I would be very interested in Liz commenting on that. So take it away.
With a KSCO commentary, here is Kay's Whirling.
Leila Beckwith, Ph.D., is a retired UCLA professor living in Santa Cruz. Her recent article in the Sunday Sentinel titled "Marketplace of Ideas Has Gone Sour at UCSC" was excellent and long overdue. For the past 30 years, UCSC students have been fed only one philosophy, that of the left. Now, one retired UC professor has the chutzpah to speak out and cry foul. Her exposure of political double standards at UCSC was underscored by the recent visit by Dennis Prager, respected columnist and talk show host. Mr. Prager was urged by numerous students, faculty, and community leaders to come speak at the Santa Cruz campus and bring some political balance in response to the Palestinian Authority propaganda being spewed quite often at UCSC forums. At least 10 university departments might have appropriately sponsored the Prager talk, yet 9 of them declined. Outrageous? You bet. In a publicly financed institution of higher learning? Inconceivable. But it's true, and it must be exposed and stopped. What does it say for the intellectual integrity of a faculty who chooses to expose only its own personal agenda? Silly me, for some time wondering why so many college students were expressing hatred for America, spitting on the American flag, burning it, rejecting religion, challenging their parents' lifestyle, while expecting monthly parental funds for tuition, clothes, cars, trips, and all the other trappings of the material good life. These young people want it both ways, even while being brainwashed by their lefty, politically correct professors. How could this happen? It's simple and it's clever. While the rest of us were asleep beginning in the 70s, leftist university leaders quietly placed in every U.S. public university administrators committed to hiring 85% lefty professors and 15% conservative ones. Our college students are being cheated out of an honest, balanced education. Instead, they're being treated to a one-sided propaganda political mill. This doesn't bode well for higher education, where institutions of learning should have a free exchange of ideas openly debated. Instead, we the people pay the bills for our children receiving a slanted, negative, one-sided education. When the mention of God in Christmas and the display of the Ten Commandments on public property is disallowed, a free society ceases to exist. And what comes next? Fascism. A fatal flaw of many so-called educated and enlightened is that they often underestimate the intelligence of the people. Kudos to Dr. Leela Beckwith for bringing this issue out in the open. Kudos also to our courageous Santa Cruz County Clerk Richard Bedell, who refuses to break the law and marry gays and lesbians, as urged by our top county lawmaker, Marty Warmhout, and her ilk. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Zwirling.
Okay, all except the last sentence there was this topic here. Liz, what did you think of that?
Well, very far-ranging set of ideas, and our time today probably won't allow us to unpack and discuss each of the elements, but there were a few that I'd like to pull out and offer for further discussion.
Please.
The first that struck me as very fascinating was the contention that 85%, that there is a conspiracy, if you will, to actually hire 85% of university professors as leftists. You know, to my understanding, that is not one of the criteria, that is, political perspective is not a criteria for the selection of faculty. And I wonder what the basis of that statistic might be.
I don't know where the number came from.
Yeah, I have to challenge that.
But wait a second.
Let me be more specific about UC
Santa Cruz. I would like to speak to that point.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is Leela trying to speak? You know, that connection is still not coming through. Please excuse me. Were you speaking? Hello?
Yes.
Hello, Leela? Are you having a hard time hearing us?
I am.
Oh.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to just have this discussion without Leela because this just isn't working. So it's unfortunate, but I guess we'll have a discussion. Leela, We'll do it another time. I'm sorry.
Oh, I am so sorry.
Can I go to another telephone? I'm going to try calling in.
If you can call us on another phone that's intelligible, we'd love to have you on the program. But it's not intelligible. It's muffled. And you can't hear us, and we can't hear you.
Thank you. I'm going to try right now.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Well, we'll see if that works.
Oh,
but,
I hope so, because, you know, that is what we are about at UC Santa Cruz, and that is open dialogue to reach a good, wide understanding of a variety of perspectives. And I know that your intention is to be certain to hear the point of view that Leela has to offer as well as mine. And I really appreciate that. If you don't mind, though, one of the common misconceptions, I think of it as an urban legend, actually, is that UC Santa Cruz is nothing but liberal-leaning students. And there actually is some statistical data that might be interesting for your listeners to hear about. There's an organization called the Cooperative Institutional Research Program, which emanates from the, I believe that in California, USC is the institution of higher learning that conducts this. And it's done on alternate years. It was formerly known as the ACE Survey. At any rate, it showed in 2002, which is the latest data I have, that the number of UCSC incoming freshmen who characterize themselves as middle of the road is
now taking to the New York Metropolitan Opera on AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville.
Are you there, Michael?
I'm here.
Because I would love to listen to the opera. That's one of my favorites.
Sorry, we got you for the next hour and a half, Liz. Can't listen to the opera today.
I'm sorry. If it's Tosca, I'm out of here. Anyway, I was trying to express some statistical facts which give the lie to the common misconception that everyone at UC Santa Cruz is archly liberal. It is true, as it's true at most university campuses, that about half of the people who claim self-express a political point of view consider themselves liberal. But it's interesting to note that...
Only half? Interestingly.
I love you, but
you're all wet on that one. You're all wet. I don't accept it.
I'll just have to give you the statistical information, and you'll have to check in with the people who provide these statistics. It's nothing that we have generated ourselves.
Lies and damn lies.
Yeah. Statistics for sure. But at any rate, half of the people consider themselves as liberal at UC Santa Cruz. Well, 50.5% in a survey of 2002. And by the way, in 2000, that number was slightly higher, 51.5%.
You're talking about students, right?
I'm talking about students, yes. Yes, students. But, you know, we don't survey our faculty and staff to make them reach some standard of political engagement one way or the other. And I think that it's for the protection of their civil rights, of course, but it also might lead to erroneous assumptions on the parts of people who assume that everyone has a particular point of view. It amuses me, for example, when people claim that because we've created the Baskin School of Engineering that we're becoming more conservative because everyone knows engineers are of a conservative ilk. And frankly, I don't see how anyone could make that generalization.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that that UC and most of the institutions of higher learning in this country are way more than 50% liberal. But you know, it doesn't matter. I don't care about that.
Even if
it was 90 or 100%, what I care about is one thing, and that is that opposing points of view not be stifled. Now,
when I was in high school.
We were forced as seniors to take American government, and there couldn't have been a topic that I was least interested in, believe it or not, back then. And the first day of class, my high school government teacher, whose name was Robert Listener, and who presumably still is a listener to this station, no pun intended. You know Bob Listener, right? Well, he used to be. He was at Soquel High, then he was at Santa Cruz High, or maybe. And so forth, lives in Soquel now, and he pulled out a piece of paper and passed it out to the whole class and said, write down on this piece of paper what you expect to get out of this class. And I wrote down the following: I expect to get nothing out of this class. The only reason I'm here is because I have to be, and I challenge you to make this class interesting to me. And boy, did he. It turned out to be the absolute best class that I had ever had in my whole high school career, and probably college as well, I would have to add. And the reason is because he exposed us to all points of view. One night, our homework assignment would be to go listen to a John Birch Society meeting with Dr. Stanley Monteith back in the late 60s, mid to late 60s. The next night, or the next week or whatever, the next assignment, we would have to go out and go to an ACLU meeting and listen to that. And we never, ever knew what Mr. Listener's political, personal political perspective was, because he was very careful to keep that from us. You know, then, I mean, years later, it he didn't give a damn anymore. he didn't care what people thought. But when we were in a position of being influenced by him as students, he exposed us to all points of view. The man, he was a saint as a teacher, and all teachers should be like that. And certainly, whether a person is liberal or conservative or in between, I think they should just present all perspectives and let the students sort of decide for themselves.
Michael,
that's my feeling.
Well, and I think that that is a principle of higher education, that what we're doing at UC Santa Cruz is educating tomorrow's leaders. And we intend to teach them, frankly, to make the world a better place, both as practitioners in their disciplines, but as citizens of the world. And part of the role there is to foster critical thinking and also to instill principles of community and as part of that, to expose them to a range of perspectives and ideas. And one of the comments, I'm now not recalling if it was...
Yes.
I understand.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Good.
Are you there, Leela?
I am indeed, and I am listening.
Good.
Thank you.
One of the things that I've been very disquieted by is the claim that students feel that they are suppressed in expressing their opinions in classes at UC Santa Cruz. Now, of course, I can't argue with people's feelings. You know, how you feel is true to you. But I have to wonder if objective facts would support those feelings. For example, it is usual in a classroom where people are being urged to think critically that any point of view must be supported persuasively. And frankly, if an argument is weak, I can imagine that a student would be challenged to support their claims.
Yes.
And a young person who is unaccustomed to that kind of academic rigor could easily misinterpret that expectation as a personalized attack.
Liz, may I speak?
Oh,
Michael?
Please.
Oh, you sound great now. That's
Thank
wonderful.
Goodness you're back.
Leela.
Thank you very much. I would, I very much want to address this. I liked very much your example, Michael. And what I want to point out to the listeners and have you respond to, Liz, is the change in the definition of academic freedom at the University of California campuses that was just instituted. It used to be, and it was formulated by Sproul in 1936, 70 years ago.
The great president of the University of California.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you don't mind, is it possible, Michael, may I just read this so I have it exactly correct?
Is it very long?
No. It's a few sentences.
Okay, great. Fine.
Okay. What has stood for 70 years and has helped to make the University of California the great university it is, was this definition of academic freedom. The function of the university is to seek and to transmit knowledge and to train students in the processes whereby truth is to be known. To convert or to make converts is alien and hostile to this dispassionate duty. Where it becomes necessary in performing the function of a university to consider political, social, or sectarian movements, they are to be dissected, examined, not taught, and the conclusion left to the logic of the facts. Those statements have been deleted. A new formulation is now in place. UC President Richard Atkinson last year asked for the changes specifically to respond to the criticism leveled at the University of California at Berkeley because they allowed a teaching assistant, a graduate student, to teach a course called The Politics and Poetics of Palestinian Resistance, in which the course description stated, conservative thinkers are encouraged to seek other sections. The course was committed to the Palestinian perspective. It was taught without any obligation to present an alternative view or inconvenient facts. Under the pre-existing Sproul regulations, the course was clearly at odds with requirements of objectivity. Unfortunately, the revision of the regulations now allows an instructor to be as biased as he wishes and to present only one point of view, very much in contradiction to Michael's example.
Do you also have at your fingertips the
I do.
The new statement? Because I must confess I'm not exactly familiar with it. Let's hear it.
But isn't that strange, Liz, that this extraordinarily important question that you are not familiar with it?
Oh, I am familiar with the question that you're talking about. I'd like to just hear what you have there in writing, because I don't have it in writing in front of me.
Okay. I do not have the complete statement, but what I have just read to you has been deleted. So I will now tell you what it, part of what it, the new regulations state.
Is this from your memory, or do you?
No,
you
no, I'm reading it.
Something?
I'm reading it.
Well, you know, if it's, let's do hear that. It might be a service, Michael, if
okay,
at some point
yeah,
we can
yeah.
post the entire document on your
I
website.
I think it's very important
right.
to post what was and stood for 70 years and what was changed because of one specific course having to do with the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. You know,
okay.
this problem on the university campuses is not restricted to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. It is not. But this is the tip of the iceberg. It does show the point that Michael brought up. It is true that the faculty on university campuses, including UC Santa Cruz, Berkeley, UCLA, are overwhelmingly left or liberal in their political points of view. And I have...
Where did that 85% number come from, Leela?
Okay, yeah. I will tell you. There was a study reported in the American Enterprise magazine, a perfectly legitimate magazine, that studied 21 illustrious colleges or universities
yeah,
in the United States. It included Cornell, Brown, Harvard, Stanford, UCLA, UC Berkeley, UC Santa Barbara. And it looked at political party registration for faculty members in the social sciences and humanities. Okay. At UC Santa Barbara, there were 72 who portrayed themselves as Democratic or Greens. There was one Republican Libertarian. That's 72 to 1. UCLA, it was 141 liberal or leftist to 9. At Berkeley, it was 59 to 7. Now, this country is split evenly between a more liberal versus or leftist versus a more conservative. So that these political affiliations of faculty do not represent the United States. Now, I agree with Liz that should not be an issue as long as political points of view are not allowed to be presented on a university campus. But the change in the definition of academic freedom at the University of California campuses allows just that. It allows a single point of view to be presented.
No, well, let me take that and just direct it slightly differently. I think it may be that political points of view have always been expressed on university campuses and wherever people are gathered. But I challenge the notion that only one political point of view is presented. Now, if the majority of people are liberal, the chances are that they might be presenting that perspective. But it is the obligation and it's the demonstrated practice that at UC Santa Cruz, at least, we do present a range of points of view. And the very fact that Mr. Prager was invited to the campus by groups of people affiliated with the campus, and that there was a considerable audience to listen to his points of view, that he was respectfully attended to, even though, as you've just said, probably the majority of the people there did not agree with him, suggests to me that the contention of a squashing of alternative perspective is simply not verifiable.
Yes, but
okay, we do have to take a commercial break, ladies, no, here, but,
sure.
But before we take a commercial break, I understand Kay herself is on line one, wants to back up the information,
please,
in her editorial. So, Noah, let's bring Kay on into the mix here, hopefully.
Yeah.
Mar, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Good
morning.
Okay,
hi, Liz.
Hello.
You and I have never met.
No,
but I
admired you from a distance.
Yeah, but what I'm listening from you is pure and unadulterated spin, and you're doing it very, very well. I do want to tell you where I got my documentation from. Have you ever heard of John Leo?
I'm sorry to say I have not.
Well, John Leo is a very respected contributor to U.S. News and World Report, and he spent one whole article discussing this issue that Liz is corroborating with, that there is no question that 85% of the professors that are being hired for the U.S. campuses, and I have to stress, I'm only talking about publicly funded universities. We, the people, are paying for it. And because we, the people, are paying for it, it's very important that there's a balance. There is absolutely no balance.
Well,
now don't talk. Let me talk.
I will
85% are lefties and 15% are conservatives. And that's the truth, no matter how you want to say it. And the other thing I want to say is we have documented proof as a radio station that we have young students coming to the our station to participate in some programs. The ones that come are conservative students, and they tell us that if they open their mouths in the classroom to state the way they feel, they are ridiculed by their professors and ostracized, and they're always afraid that it's going to show in the way they're being marked. This is not a way a free public university should behave. And this is what's happening in Berkeley, in Santa Cruz, at UCLA, and all others, no matter how you want to spin it. So, now, is there anything else you'd like to ask about something that I said in my commentary that you want to challenge?
Well, there are probably quite a few
items, but
I'm not sure if this is the moment for us to get involved in that.
Why not? If you're challenging what I'm saying, I want to know what it is.
All right.
And
well,
then I can respond to it.
Okay. Thank you. Here's one thing that I wonder about. You're claiming that UC Santa Cruz is, quote, publicly funded. And we are public state funded, assisted. That is, we're assisted in by state funding.
You're also assisted by individuals.
Please let Liz speak.
Oh, I'm sorry. You were going to ask something, though. I want to be sure I'm addressing exactly what you're concerned about. Kate, did you have something more to say?
Yeah, individuals also fund UCSC, private individuals.
That's through university relations, I think, right? Through private endowments?
Yes, we do. We are very fortunate to have generous benefactors who this year probably will fund in excess of $30 million in various programs, including support for things like our Center for Adaptive Optics, Center for Justice, Tolerance, and Community. There are some Center for Ocean Health is another program that's been generously funded by supporters. Our overall operating budget, however, is over $400,000 with a...
Yeah, but what's that got to do with you challenging what I said?
Well, what I'm getting to is your claim that... I agree with you, Kay, that public education should prepare critical thinkers to be the leaders of tomorrow, to really seek the truth.
Yes.
And I totally agree with that, and I think that that is the mission that is embraced by all campuses of the University of California.
I'm afraid that's not true. I was a student. I went back to school when my children grew up, and I went to UCSC, and I was there in the 60s.
You were pretty liberal, as I recall, back then, Ma, right?
No, I wasn't. I've always been an independent. But the lefty professors were there already, and they were spinning the new left, is what they called it. But anyhow, go on, Liz. What else is it that you know?
I'm concerned about what you said of students feeling intimidated and unable of speaking out. Can you tell me, in the examples that you know of, what kind of action did they take for redress?
Well, what they're trying to do, I understand now, is groups of students are beginning to have clubs. And like the Republicans. The Republicans at UCSC have their own clubs, and they're that's how they're trying to just get together and make their and begin to feel that maybe their voices can be heard. So
and,
far,
and we
not.
Applaud that. In fact,
well, you
the Young Republicans, I believe, have about 130 members at this
point. Is
that
wonderful?
And they are operating under the auspices of the student organization and resources. Operation through student affairs,
mm-hmm.
and they get the same kind of support and access to resources that any of the other organizations.
I have
get.
A question, and this is not taking sides, but I want to point this out, Ma. In the commentary, you pointed out that at least 10 organizations could have sponsored the Dennis Prager thing.
That's what I was.
And
Leela can address that.
Yes, of course.
And all that, all but one of them chose to do that, and that you thought that that was outrageous. Well, maybe 90% of I think it is 90%. Maybe Liz will disagree, but if 90% of the student population. Does not care for that political point of view. Can you blame them for not wanting to sponsor the
We're
talk?
We're not talking
May
about
I?
The students. We're talking about Professor Beckwith.
Well,
would
and
you
I
speak
understand.
Out?
Let's not confuse common bureaucratic processes with discrimination. The practices of establishing sponsorship or co-sponsorship, for example, generally require more than a few days' notice. And usually when there is a co-sponsorship or not, the relevant point is that the events do occur on campus and are widely publicized and attended. So the endorsement or not of an event does not limit the ability of the perspective to be presented.
Yes, but what does it say about the people who deny the right for another point of view?
How is that right denied? That's what I'm having a hard time
I think
understanding.
We should let the professor talk.
Yes, may I speak, please? Thank you.
Okay.
Liz, I thought it was interesting that, in a way, UC Santa Cruz, you claimed credit for the Dennis Prager lecture.
Credit?
It was...
That's
you know, to show the diversity of opinions being offered on the campus. That lecture came about, first of all, it was funded completely outside of UC Santa Cruz, and it was funded by individuals who were very concerned about the imbalance of ideas on the UC Santa Cruz campus. More than that, we were all volunteers. I was one of them who organized that talk. We did all the effort, all the publicity. We got Dennis Prager. We arranged for that talk. It is quite true that UC Santa Cruz allowed us to have it on campus.
Well,
which is publicly funded.
Exactly. Exactly. And we did ask in a timely fashion for co-sponsorship. That did not mean that we were requesting money. We were simply asking 10 university departments and colleges that had sponsored anti-Israel speakers and events previously. We simply asked them, in the interest of presenting a diversity of point of views, to please put their names down as co-sponsors to show that they cared about a diversity of opinions being offered. All but one of those 10 refused.
Okay, so they're being honest that they don't give a damn about diversity.
Exactly.
Now, that is
right.
Not the conclusion
I do not
I
think
read.
That UC Santa Cruz should claim credit.
Well, let me address just two of the things that you pointed out. I want to be clear about the fact that whether you are presenting Dennis Prager or whether you are another research organization presenting an array of speakers, you know, who knows along what political spectrum, it is the prerogative of the research groups or the departments or the student organizations who are sponsoring to do all of the activities that you mentioned. It's the prerogative and the responsibility. There is not a central, except for rare occasions, and I'll mention one, there isn't a central fund which decides who's coming and how we're going to support them. Individual operations have their own methods of securing speakers, and it's their responsibility to do the promotion. Now, the fact that there was considerable community engagement is not untypical. For example, many of the organizations or many of the speeches and presentations that have occurred on campus are done in co-sponsorship with outside organizations such as Hillel, such as the campus religious ministry. There are other groups that join with faculty and representatives of departments of the campus to present their speakers. So what you've characterized to me is no different than any of the other things that we have had, with the exception that you seem to feel that your putting together a presentation was somehow an onerous task. And the point that I'm trying to make isn't the claim that we take credit for bringing Dennis Prager. We don't take credit for any of the speakers. It's the faculty, the students who are bringing forward these individuals. What I'm trying to underscore is that this is a campus where one can have the opportunity to be exposed to a range of perspective without fear of
discrimination. Well, that's not true. That's not one bit true.
Right. So my point, Liz, was
you're a very good representative for UCSC, but you're not. Either you don't have all the facts, or you're just a very good representative for them.
Well,
nevertheless, it's not a free university. Michael,
I'd love
the
to
audience
have some examples of why you think
this.
That. Can you give me some examples?
Oh, let's get back to my commentary and what else bothered you.
You know what I would like to point out is, rather than your commentary, I'd like to go to the op-ed that Lila presented, because I think the two are quite related. And it struck me as very interesting to note that Front Page Magazine, which is another, it's a website that I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with. Yes. It's the one that features David Horowitz's Political Perspective. I noticed that they posted the op-ed from the Santa Cruz Sentinel, albeit with a different headline. The Sentinel says to the effect that UCSC has failed as a marketplace of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Front Page changed that to this headline, UCSC backs Islamists, not Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not sure about any copyright issues that might be related to that change, but it does seem to me to point out that this is not an issue of freedom of speech or academic freedom, but is truly rooted in a political perspective.
Okay, everything you say is fine, except you have to have balance at publicly funded universities. That's all.
Well, I hear that. I do hear that. And
I think it
is true that there may be examples in our society that even very well-educated people can be, mean-spirited, even malicious.
Cavalier.
And it is a common and, I think, rather dangerous propaganda technique to categorize or demonize an entire group with a few selected examples.
They're
of
not being demonized. That is their behavior and has been for the last 30 years. And you're an employee of the UC system, and I'm astounded that you seem to know so little about what's really going on.
I am
Anything
a proud
else?
Employee
yeah.
of the UC system.
Uh-huh.
Thank goodness for the University of California and its positive impact for our state and nation.
It could be a lot better if it would be balanced.
Okay. Well, look, here we are at the end of hour number one. We haven't even done our commercial break. My God, Noah, I think we should suspend the news and do the commercials instead, okay?
My God,
let's do that. Okay,
Mark,
thank you for calling. And,
it's nice to hear your voice, Kay. I've never met you. Maybe I will someday.
Oh, hopefully. That would be nice. Yeah,
Michael?
Yes.
This is Lila. May I just respond before?
Please hold it, because we have to take a commercial break, but we promise you can respond to all
Thank
that. This is KSEO Santa Cruz. Noah is going to play the commercial stop set for the first hour. Right now, we'll be back in a few minutes.
Motorhomes, Doubles, Fifth Wheels, Factory Authorized Clearance Sale. March 19th through the 28th, Monterey Fairgrounds. You'll save thousands of dollars. New and used. If you want it, we have it. If you ever thought of owning your own RV or towable, there's no better time than now. Winnebago, Bigfoot, Forest River, Alpha, Lexington, Wildwood, Sandpiper, and Weekend Warrior. Diesel pushers, Class A's, Class C's, Fifth Wheels, new and used. Financing, we've got it. Super low payments, 2.99% fixed rate. You heard that right, 2.99 financing. Bring the family, bring your friend. Factory authorized, price slashing event. Monterey County Fairgrounds. It all starts Friday, March 19th. No reasonable offer will be refused. Be there. This is the opportunity you've been waiting for. You'll get more for less. Hosted by RVs of Merit. 2.99% financing fixed rate for 10 years. $19.99 selected models or newer on approval of credit.
Running, jumping, climbing stairs, things you take for granted until joint pain makes everyday activities unbearable. But you don't have to live with joint pain. Here's pharmacist Ben Fuchs to explain why.
Foods that cause the blood pH to drop into the acidic level will cause joint degeneration. So by alkalinizing the blood, you can help reduce joint degeneration. There's also supplements that you can take that can allow the body to rebuild cartilage. Most famous one, of course, is glucosamine. It can help the body rebuild cartilage. And this has been proven in numerous scientific studies that you can take glucosamine orally. You can take it into your mouth, it'll go into your digestive system, and it will go into your cartilage to help your cartilage rebuild itself. Remember, cartilage serves an important role in joint function. Cartilage has got a jelly-like nature that allows lubrication of the ends of the joints and acts as a shock absorber as well. Glucosamine, by the way, can help support collagen in the blood vessels as well. So you can help support the blood vessels that feed the heart and the blood vessels throughout the body by taking glucosamine supplements. Glucosamine supplements can also improve collagen production in the skin, so you can help minimize wrinkles with glucosamine supplements. Glucosamine sulfate can also be used to help rebuild cartilage. Glucosamine supplements have a multiple range of benefits for improving health.
Containing 100% beef gelatin, glucosamine sulfate, chondroitin sulfate, and manganese, the building blocks for bone matrix, cartilage, ligaments, tendons, and connective tissue, American Longevity's Ultimate Glucogel is the ultimate source for healthy joints. And at $17.50 a bottle wholesale, you'll be building up your joints without tearing down your finances. Give your joints the support they need with American Longevity's Ultimate Glucogel. To order, call 425-3090. The number again is 425-3090. That's 425-3090. And be sure to ask about becoming a wholesale buyer for free.
He's back!
It is an invention that has been both praised and denounced. It has served hero and villain alike and carries with it a moral responsibility. It has changed the world like no other invention. To understand the gun is to better understand history. Gun ownership is a right extended to all Americans. Join me, Robbie the Gun Guy, as we explore the world of the gun. Right here on KSCO and KOMY at 3 p.m. every Sunday.
How do you like your talk radio? Do you enjoy personal attacks, insults, and gross hyperbole? If so, please do not listen to my program because I don't tolerate such nonsense. I'm Charles Friedman, and I host Friedman's Freedom Challenge, Sundays at 5 here on KSCO. The challenge is to express yourself with passion and intensity rather than bile and invective. Looking for debate that's intelligent rather than incoherent? Then step up to Friedman's Freedom Challenge, Sundays at 5 on KSCO.
Why talk when you can argue?
News Talk 1080 KSCO.
Good morning. You are tuned to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It is 4 minutes past 11 o'clock on the morning of Saturday, March 20th, 2004, and I am Noah James with your Central Coast weather forecast. This afternoon, areas of coastal fog and low clouds, otherwise mostly sunny. Highs from around 60 at the ocean to upper 70s well inland. An afternoon sea breeze up to 15 miles per hour. A little later on this evening, coastal fog and low clouds moving into many inland areas overnight. Otherwise mostly clear skies throughout the evening. Lows in the mid-40s to mid-50s with an evening sea breeze 10 to 20 miles per hour. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for this afternoon. Wind southwesterly 5 knots, becoming northwesterly 5 to 15 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves 1 to 3 feet and a westerly swell 2 to 6 feet at 11 seconds. It is currently 61 degrees outside of the station here in beautiful Santa Cruz. We now return to the Red Hot Saturday Special with Michael Zwirling. Stay tuned.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Boy, that was an understatement, Noah. Red hot. Yeah, during the break, I had to jump into the pool and cool off a little bit here, and I wasn't really in all that involved in the dialogue here.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And I gotta say, this is what we hope for and think is great on talk radio, a spicy dialogue and exchange. Today, special guests discussing balance or bias at UC Santa Cruz. Lila Beckwith is a retired UCLA professor now living in the Santa Cruz area. Liz Irwin is with the UC Santa Cruz Office of Administration. Both delightful ladies, and we are very, very thankful that both of you have consented to be on the Saturday special where we can discuss this issue. Want to apologize to all the callers. I did invite calls toward the beginning of the program, and we got quite a number of calls, but we didn't get to any of them. So I promise, from now on, this hour we're gonna do our best to get to all the callers who do call in. Let's see, we promised before we went to the break that Lila would be given a chance to respond to what was said just before that. Go ahead, Lila, you're on.
Thank you very much. I thought, perhaps I was mistaken, but I thought that Liz implied that the opinion piece I wrote simply was political. And by saying that it was political, you seem to imply that either it was trivial or that it was sort of irrational. You know, I agree with you. I don't want politicized ideology on university campuses at taxpayer expense. I do not think public funds should be used to advance a political perspective. I agree with you absolutely. That was what my opinion piece was about.
Are you there, Liz?
I am.
Oh,
I was listening carefully. I don't want to interrupt. Are you through with your comment?
I am.
Ah.
Well, if you feel like commenting now, it would be great.
Who are you talking to, Michael? Me or Lila?
Liz. To you, Liz.
Okay, yeah. So what I heard Lila want to emphasize is that her point of view is that there shouldn't be public funds used to advance a political perspective. And in fact, I think most people would probably agree with that. What I took from her statement, and certainly from the headline that was posted on frontpage magazine.com, was that there was less concern about the use of public funds than concern about perceived support of one group over another. And it makes me go back to the question that I don't think we ever quite completed analyzing, is why do you think that there is an anti-Israel perspective, and why do you associate liberal political leanings with an anti-Israeli point of view? It's just I'm missing that key point.
Go ahead, Lila.
I think that's a complex issue. That was actually Dennis Prager's comment, that it is the leftist faculty on university campuses who purport to believe in diversity, freedom of religion, gay rights, etc., who support the Palestinian Authority, which of course has no respect for civil rights. So my article in that sense referred to Dennis Prager. But I'm sorry, repeat for me again the first
statement. I interpreted from your op-ed was, which again has been, and that my interpretation has been reinforced by the posting on frontpagemagazine.com and the new headline that that publication substituted for the one that the Sentinel used.
Okay.
It suggests to me that the real argument here is a political argument, that there's been the contention that academic freedom is being suppressed, that balance isn't there,
yes.
When in fact what it seems to me is that there is an acknowledgement of a range of political perspectives, but there isn't necessarily agreement with them.
Okay.
And it is that point that's uncomfortable.
Okay. Okay, I understand exactly what you're saying. What you're saying is that the Dennis Prager talk and my efforts and the efforts of others to bring him to the UC Santa Cruz campus was to present a political point of view. In that sense, you are absolutely right, but that is because that political point of view was not being presented on the university campus. An opposing political point of view that was pro-Palestinian, that was pro-leftist, was being presented for several years, and it was quite one-sided.
Well, you know, I confess I had never even heard of Dennis Prager before his invitation and the promotion of his coming to campus, and so I was unaware that he is sometimes characterized as extremely right rather than,
you know what,
simply
Liz,
conservative. But
not,
I don't know if that's true or not.
Do not characterize. You know, I do not want to characterize faculty or administrators' points of view. If it interests you at all, I have been a Democrat all my life. That is not relevant here. What is relevant here is that there be a diversity of opinions and on the campus.
And I think there's no disagreement on that, Lila. I completely agree. And the example that I gave earlier in our program was that 1 week array of presentations.
Yes,
that did present a tremendous amount.
That was
of,
a very good example.
Yes.
And we all appreciate it. But that was singular.
Well,
and
you
there
know,
were
It's
many more
I gave,
than
I'd be glad
one
to give others.
Other specific points of view.
I really could provide a variety of examples of the range of points of view that have been presented in public presentations. And I think anyone who wants to look in the UC Santa Cruz schedule of classes will also see a range of subject options for people to enroll in. It would be a grave miscalculation to say that the curriculum is nothing but a particular political perspective.
I would
never
say that.
I'm not sure that we really are in disagreement.
Okay, well, maybe that's just because people choose to people from the right choose to not participate in the university. Much like here at KSCO, where we provide a voice for everyone to call the talk radio programs, but most of the calls seem to come from conservative people. And we tell the liberals to call in, and they just choose not to.
But maybe they're not listening.
maybe they're not listening because they don't want to hear.
It's a beautiful day. No, they're
maybe
out
that's
doing
it. Okay.
Things.
All right, that's fine. Let's invite callers now. Line 2, Gil has been waiting for, golly, the better part of an hour, even more than an hour. So let's bring Gil up, but give the phone numbers, 479-1080 or 477-1340. Give us a call if you want to participate in this discussion of bias at UCSC. Should it be existent or should it not? Should it be more balanced or whatever? Give us a call, 479-1080, 477-1340, or fax us your contribution, 475-2967. It's all Area 831. Gil, go ahead. You're on the air on KSCO.
Yeah, I'd like to give a little perspective to this. Going back to May 24th, 2001, this is for Liz's benefits because she may not be aware of it. There was a program presented called Exposing the Conflict on the Road to Peace, a panel discussion on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. They had Scott Kennedy, who we all know, Stephen Zunis.
Mayor of Santa Cruz.
Yeah, Steve Zunis, professor of politics and chair of peace and justice studies at University of San Francisco, and I think he was a visiting prof at the time at UCSC. Khalil Barhoum, Stanford University professor, Palestinian activist and writer, and others to be confirmed. Now, just for everyone's information, I was also invited by, at the last minute, to be a speaker presenting an Israeli point of view.
And who are you?
My name is Gil Stein, and okay. I am a member of AIPAC on the board of...
What's AIPAC?
American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. I'm on the right now I'm on the Jewish Studies Advisory Committee. Well, I was asked by Rabbi Litvak of Temple Beth-El, because he had been asked by a number of students who had wanted to participate. I was told, after being invited to speak, that it was not necessary because they didn't want that point of view expressed. Now, among the sponsors of this event were the Center for Justice, Tolerance, and Community, the Center for Global, International, and Regional Studies, Oaks, Stevenson, and Merrill Colleges, as well as College 9, and the Sociology Department, which I know gave $100 to the event. Now, this is what Leela is talking about. These same groups were asked, campus groups were asked to co-sponsor the Dennis Prager event, and all but Stevenson College refused to do that. Now, that's the problem we have, isn't it?
Well, I hear that. And Mr. Stein, I actually do know your name, and I know something about that event. I know that you're an attorney and that you obviously have a special interest in this particular situation.
And I spoke personally with the chancellor about it, and she was very supportive in getting the information out. Unfortunately, with that, that's the kind of thing we're talking about. If you want to have a balanced perspective, you can either do it on a panel that is balanced, or you can present opposing points of view at different times. But when you have the sociology department and various colleges sponsoring a one-sided, and if you were asked from Leela, what's an anti-Israel program, I can tell you that a program like this, that discuss, and these are the topics, role of the U.S. and international community, violence, right of return, occupied territories, the peace process, nothing about terrorism, nothing about suicide bombings, nothing about Israel's right to exist. It completely and totally one-sided from one perspective. That's what was presented. And when members of the community, both students, faculty, and also from the members of the public at large, wanted to present something that would give a counter to this, all but one, only Stevenson College, to their credit, agreed to co-sponsor. What's wrong with this picture? So when you tell me that this, you're not aware of what's anti-Israel, then not long ago, other campus groups brought a Muslim imam from Oakland who had nearly caused a riot up at San Francisco State and expressed such venomous views that all Jews and Zionists must go. The World Trade Center was caused by Israelis. It was a plot to discredit Islam and things like that. That's the kind of stuff that we in the community hear. And that's the problem. And I don't think there's any defense to that. I'm a graduate of UCSC. I appreciated the discourse of ideas when I went there in the late 60s, early 70s. But I think what's happened now, unfortunately, is that the critical thinking that I thought was extremely important as a student has gone by the wayside. And we need more people to promote the interaction of ideas and less to be politically correct.
Now, who can argue with that?
Who indeed?
Well, apparently, a number of people at the university. And I think that, you know, I was one of the people who helped bring Dennis Prager to the campus, and I'm very pleased that 400 people came. And the whole point was, as the person who introduced Mr. Prager said, we are attempting to present the view here that has not been presented on campus
before. Gil, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Okay. Was there ever a question that Dennis Prager would not be allowed to talk? Or are you just insulted that more campus groups or people from the campus weren't willing to actively sponsor it?
I mean,
was there ever a question that he was not going to be allowed to speak?
No, I don't believe so. My concern is that when you have college institutions such as a college, a board of studies, one of these research groups actively supporting one point of view and not supporting an opposing point of view, I think that the promotion of politics and agenda is obviously more important to that particular group than it is the free discourse of ideas. And I think that was Leela's point in her op-ed piece, is that we're not saying that that pro-Palestinian groups shouldn't be heard on campus, but they shouldn't have the endorsement of the university, and if they do...
Yeah, no one should have the endorsement of the university.
Exactly.
Either it's both,
all points of view, or no points of view should have the endorsement.
Right, and I completely agree with that. And the point I think we might have a difference of opinion is whether or not there have been a range of perspectives offered. You seem to be convinced that it was, that the spectrum, which would include the far right, which I don't know if it's accurate to characterize Dennis Prager as representing.
I do not think that's fair, Liz.
You have to tell me if you think not.
To characterize people as far right, far left.
We are not doing that
by suggesting that there isn't enough of your perspective presented at UC Santa Cruz, and yet you're characterizing UC Santa Cruz as ultra-left. So my logical conclusion is then it must be the ultra-right that isn't being represented.
Not characterize them as ultra-left.
I think there's a problem here.
I think that the problem is politicizing. I'm not even sure what left and right is on certain issues. I mean,
I agree with that.
And I think it's a question of a difference of ideas and different perspectives, and that's the concern. When the university has, and I think that when different colleges and departments sponsor an event, it has the connotation of being a university-sponsored event, whether UC Santa Cruz thinks so or not. And when they present a panel and then deliberately engineer the panel, whoever designed it, deliberately engineers the panel, so that the points of view are those who want to kill Israelis quickly and those who want to kill them over time. That's the perspective we have here.
Well, you know...
That's totally, totally irresponsible, completely indefensible, unless there's a counter viewpoint. And I just don't understand, Liz, why College 9, College 10, Merrill, and these other groups refused to join, and they had plenty of time. Professor Benjamin, who was one of the organizers of the event and a fellow at Stevenson College, emailed all of those people with plenty of time to sponsor. And none of them, with the exception of Stevenson, agreed. There is no excuse for that. At the same time, when they said that they couldn't do it, they wouldn't do it for this event, I believe a couple of the colleges, I believe it was 9 and 10, agreed to sponsor a movie called Gaza Strip, which is virulently anti-Israel, the same night as Dennis Prager. So that they felt that was okay to sponsor, but not the Prager event. Again, what's wrong with this picture? And people wonder why there's distrust of the university? I think this is why.
Okay, I have a question for Liz here. You seem to believe that it's very important to let people know that it's not just public funds, taxpayers' monies that support the University of California, that quite a percentage comes from private endowments through university relations and so forth. Do you have figures about that? What percentage comes from private donations and what percentage comes from public, you know, funding?
I do have those figures. I'll give them to you in a moment. But that isn't, to me, the most important aspect of this conversation.
I agree with you, but yeah. I want to bring that out because I happen to feel that if there is any, even 0.1%
right.
public money going into something, that there should be required balance of opinion exposed.
Well, certainly, we are the University of California. We are the state university, the flagship public research university for our state. And yet, at this time, our source of funding from the state of California at UC Santa Cruz is less than 40%. We get a significant amount of money from the federal government because that's how much of our research is conducted through contracts and grants. We also have, as I mentioned to you, a varying amount depending on our success in working with generous philanthropists, but generally in a $100,000 budget on an annual basis. Our goal is to increase the amount of private support that we get. As I said, I think there might be, as much as $30 million or so that will come from our private donors this fiscal year or this academic year.
I'm sorry, what did you say, how much?
The figures are evolving every day as more checks come in, but I'm anticipating that we'll be in the neighborhood of $30 million this year, July 1 through June 30th, as private gifts to UC Santa Cruz.
Out of how, what total budget?
And the total budget, the total operating budget is in excess of $400 million.
Okay, so it's less than 10% from...
Yes,
okay.
And the rest is largely from one source or another, private, or rather, public funding.
We do have some other callers that we should get to. Let's take a call from Nick in Hollister on line 3. Noah, please, if we can bring Nick into the program here and welcome him to KSCO. Nick, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi,
I'm presenting a balanced view. My daughter has gone up to... UCSC for the last two summers for a camp up there. She's a high school student. And as you walk out the dorm, there's a huge mural. There's many murals there. And I don't see a single American being quoted on it. But you have a large picture of Mao Zedong with one of his little quotes out of his red book. And right next to him is Che Guevara. And when I first took my daughter up there, I said, now you can see a lack of no balance at this school. Because it should say in footnotes underneath their little revolutionary statements, I killed my tens of thousands, and under Mao it should say, I killed my tens of millions. How can you present this kind of propaganda to students walking out of their dorm every day and seeing these two murderers?
Gosh, I'm not familiar with the mural that you're talking about.
Where should it be. It's right there on the wall.
It's a large campus. Where exactly is this?
It was for the water polo camp.
Yes, but I mean, where was she staying?
She was staying in the dorm.
But which one? I mean, we have many dorms.
I know. I don't really know the campus that well. I just know.
So what college?
The only reason I ask, I mean, it isn't relevant exactly which college, but if I knew what you were thinking of, it would help me to understand the general context.
But how can you have a general context of presenting two murderers as heroes?
Well, you're characterizing it as a heroic presentation. Maybe it
is.
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you'd have to go up there and take a look at it, and that's just a presentation of the campus. And here you have young kids coming in, and they see these two murderers being presented as heroes, and there are no American heroes there or great speeches by them.
Nick, you made your point. Thank you very much for calling the Saturday special. Now let's go to Jan in San Lorenzo Valley, line 1. If you can bring Jan up. Hey, Jan, welcome to the KSCO Saturday special with Liz Irwin and Lila Beckwith and MZ.
Thank you very much. I just want to say I agree with Kay totally. I want to make a few comments without anybody jumping in, please. We in the community, we see the negative effect on the community of the slanted point of view of the students. These students vote on all issues in the community, and you know, property rights, our taxes, everything. They take up housing that bumps out others who used to live here and who want to live here. Our children can't even afford to live here. And their views affect the political balance. the politicians, with the support and backing of these students, push their agendas on the community. And these students join groups in the community and promote their agenda. Now, it filters down to the high schools and to our children. You know, there used to be a paper up there, the Redwood Review, and it was better than the Sentinel at reporting things. But, oops,
it was
it's
what?
Gone.
What did you say about the Redwood Review? What?
It's gone. It was better at...
It was a conservative student paper, I think, right?
Yes,
I'm sorry, it's not gone. I don't mean to interrupt, but it's there. And, in fact, one of the student assistants in my office is a regular contributor and a former editor.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that, because some of the articles I've read from there were much better than what we got out of the Sentinel, our local paper.
Well, it's available. Maybe they'll put you on a subscriber list.
Yeah.
Now, aren't you happy you called the program, Jan?
Yes, I am.
Just for that tidbit of information alone.
Well, not only for that, but just to get my point of view out and to agree with Kay, and I think this gal Liz is a real good spin doctor. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Work, and I'm calling into a radio station. I'm being interviewed. So.
Oh, yes, and you're everybody's hearing what you're saying also.
So sorry.
Okay. Let's go to line four, Pat in Santa Cruz, our next caller on the KSCO Saturday Special. Pat, you're on. Hello, Pat. Going
hello.
Once, Pat.
Hello,
okay,
hello.
There you are.
Can you hear me?
Now we can hear you. Go ahead.
All right. I'm a good show. Points well made all around. My two cents involves the idea that such groups as La Raza and Mecha are given very uncontested representation on campus, and they have views which are extremely controversial and in many regards hostile and even violent. And I would like to see some counterpoint to that. Can I get
Liz is the person to talk to.
Liz,
and you're talking to her.
Right. Well,
what do you have to say about that?
We do have many student organizations, and as we mentioned earlier, they range from the Young Republican group to people who are interested in the Greek system to people who might be taking an affiliation of a political sort, such as the Young Israelis or the I don't know if there's
a
La Raza
group. No, but I'm talking
group.
Specifically about such groups as La Raza and.
And Mecha,
which basically,
you know, La Raza, I think, is a political movement. I don't. There may be proponents of that, but there's no student organization, to my understanding, with that title.
Okay. Are you familiar with those groups? Do you know?
I do know something about them. Yes.
They basically advocate returning big parts, if not all, of the United States to. Mexico, or setting up a mythical homeland of Aztlan, and they aren't too fussy about how that happens. They say by the vote, if possible, by any means, if necessary. They have such slogans as for the race, everything, for those outside the race, nothing. The race meaning, of course, Mexicans or bronze people, as they put it. So I find these things to be somewhat problematic when counterpoints are considered to be automatically racist. And anybody on this station will tell you that I am not what you would call somebody from the far right. You know, and when I get branded as somebody from the far right, I feel like this is just the response of somebody who's not willing to have an honest discussion of reality. And when these groups get away with making the kind of presentations they make, and they put up the feeling on contact in on campus that to oppose them is to be racist, I just have a big problem with that. And I think the university ought to be more even-handed in dealing with that. I'm not saying suppress them, but I'm saying do not just simply give them a free ride. By free ride, I don't mean... I think you know what I mean. Just don't let their agenda be so doctrinaire that nobody dares oppose it.
Well, as I said before, I'm not aware of activities of
either
of those groups.
I'm gonna go now, but you should be aware of that, okay? And I hope you'll follow up on that.
Well, thank you.
I'm not making this stuff up.
I appreciate your insight.
Okay, thanks very much, Pat. I believe we have several other callers here. I want to give out the phone numbers. As you can see, we are moving through the callers quite rapidly now. I'd like to fill up the lines at 479-1080 or 477-1340. We have a fax line at 475-2967. The area code is 831. The radio station is KSCO AM 1080. The program is Saturday Special with MZ and the hosts, the guests are Liz Irwin from UC Santa Cruz, and Lila Beckwith, who is a retired University of California, Los Angeles professor, who is concerned about bias and lack of balance at the University of California. And I don't know whether Liz is hearing anything that she's hasn't heard before or that is surprising her, if there's any kind of new information that's coming out on this or not. I get the feeling that it's probably not. It's probably nothing new. That am I right, Liz?
Well, you know, I think that there are some stereotypes about our campus that are very easy to perpetuate. It's not uncommon for any university to be thought of as a bastion of liberality, as you said, that there is probably a large number of people affiliated with universities who have a more liberal perspective. I just was asking about the source of the data that suggested 85%. You know, as you said in an earlier conversation, Michael, you know, there are ways that statistics can be used to interpret or misinterpret facts, but basically this sounds like an opportunity for dialogue. I just want to emphasize
which
again.
Which I think is great. I think it's great too.
Yeah. And I want to emphasize again that we strongly espouse and in fact have presented, widely distributed, shared throughout our community, both campus and beyond, a series of principles of community, as we call them, which overtly demand that alternative points of view are listened to respectfully, that people should feel safe to give their ideas and suggestions without fear of derision. In fact, it reminds me of how fortunate we are to live in America, where we can publicly disagree with our government and other authorities. You know, we can safely espouse minority opinions without fear of the knock on the door in the middle of the night. And the fact that we're having this conversation just underscores that point.
Great. Hey, let's go back to the phone lines now. Line 3, Lori, is up next. We'll welcome Lori to the Saturday Special at 11:37. Lori, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the air.
You bet.
I think this is a great show. I'd like to say thank you for presenting all these opinions about you know, campuses in general. I have to agree with, I would like to just mention, I want to agree with the last person that was on the air about the group Mecha and some of the other groups. I didn't go to UCSC. I actually went to San Jose State, which, you know, to me is another, you know, publicly funded college or university. And basically, I would like to say that those types of groups are definitely one of the reasons why, well, not one of the reasons, but definitely help keep the university out of balance, because groups that are that require you to be a particular race just to be in the group should not even be condoned or allowed to be on campus. And particularly in San Jose, I saw a lot of the Asian groups where you would try to, you know, they would have postings all over campus saying, you know, if you'd like to join our group, you must be Asian and this and that. And we should never allow those kinds of things.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's thank you very much for calling the Saturday Special, Lori, and we appreciate you. Haven't heard you call before, so welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Let's go to our next caller. That would be line 1, Noah. That would be Sam. Let's welcome Sam to the Saturday Special on AM 1080, 1138. Hey, Sam, you're on.
Yeah, I'd like to know how professors who are academically not credentialed, sufficiently credentialed to have positions in the Santa Cruz University, such as Michael Rotkin and Angela Davis, who head departments. They only have master's degrees and not doctor's degrees. How can they head departments?
Well, first of all, Michael Rotkin is a lecturer. He is not what we call a ladder rank member of the faculty, although he has been a member of our faculty.
Well, then how does he head a department?
I don't understand why his status is... What is the question? He can have you saying that because he doesn't have a doctorate, he shouldn't be able to...
Well, that's the university's own standard.
You know, I'm not certain that that's the case. It is true that the majority of our professors are extremely well educated with doctorates and beyond.
Well, Rotkin or Angela Davis, neither of them have doctorates.
I'm sorry?
Angela Davis mm-hmm. nor Michael Rotkin have doctorates.
As a matter of fact,
if you look at the bibliography that Rotkin hands out to his students, it's not a balanced bibliography. It only shows points of view that support his Marxist point of view. That's all. The other thing I'd like to say, there are cases in the university, such as Saul Landau, who used to give a summer course, that he used to grade the students according to their opinion. Another thing I'd like to add, Dennis Prager does not consider himself to be a far-right extremist. He considers himself to be an independent middle-of-the-roader. As a matter of fact, he makes a great point of being a middle-of-the-roader. So don't try to hand us this illiterate response that you gave that he is a far-rightist.
Let me clarify that. I am not in any position to characterize him.
Well, then why did you do it?
But I must say that if he is middle of the road, then he joins the majority of UC Santa Cruz students, according to surveys that are conducted on a regular basis.
Well, that's a fine little bit of subterfuge. It's not true
okay.
at all.
Thank you. I want to thank you for your call, Sam.
You.
Now we're going to go to line 7. It looks like Steve Hartman is on the line here, so let's bring Steve up. Steve, you're on the air on KSCO.
Good morning, Michael.
Hey, how you doing?
I wanted to first say to Liz that she's doing a great job at deflecting criticism, but she's got to feel the anger that's risen up in this community, and I think that one of the problems is that there's so many people focused on individual circumstances instead of looking at the problem from the overall picture. And the overall picture is that UCSC no longer is an educational institution of pureness. It is an educational institution that's racked with political activism in which only one voice is allowed to grow and the other one is shut down. And this is accomplished by point of view and curriculum up on the UC campus. It has gotten to a point where the people whose lives are invested in this community have had their right to direct their community's future ripped away from them, so that the university is, in fact, in control of the community rather than the community having its own identity. And that's where our problem is. A perfect example, Measure B, the school bond issue. 600 votes came from UCSC. Measure B passed by less than 100 votes. And of those 600 votes on that campus, 594 voted to pay this tax, whereas 6 votes were against paying this tax. In essence, those 600 students all by themselves forced the people of this community to pay a tax that was not needed. The students were not educated on it. And, Michael, that's pretty much where it's at. The university and the university mindset control the rest of us, and it's wrong.
Okay, Steve, thanks for calling the Saturday special.
You bet.
Okay, Westside Al is up next on line four. Let's bring WSA up. He's been waiting a long time. You're on the air, Al, on the Saturday special.
Thanks for taking my call, Michael. Ms. Irwin, have you ever read the writings of David Horowitz?
You know, I'm sorry, I can barely hear. I think I heard
he
my
wants
name,
to know if you've
have...
written. He wants to know if you've read the writings of David Horowitz.
I actually saw a number of his materials on that frontpage.com website.
Have you read any of his material?
Yes, I did read some of them. I can't say I'm an extensive absorber of his materials, but I did get a general sense.
Well, I would suggest you read a little bit more. I was at Berkeley with Horowitz back in the late 60s, so needless to say, I've seen my share of left-oriented campus activists, and I was left of center, although not as much as most of the student body because I was a veteran by the time I got there. But I think Mr. Horowitz is a perfect example of someone who's really become quite alarmed at the course of our universities and the political leanings of the faculty in particular and the way they shape these young minds. Now, you earlier in the show, much earlier, cited a statistic that 50% of the students identify themselves as liberals.
No, yes, that's correct.
Okay.
That is correct. About a third identify themselves as middle of the road.
Well, I'd have to assume the middle of the roaders are afraid to say what they are for some reason, perhaps, but I would perhaps even surmise that that survey was taken amongst incoming freshmen because by the time they get to vote in this community, you look at the voting election records over the last 30 years and you'll find that anywhere between 75 and 95% of the students voting on campus vote an agenda that's recommended by the Santa Cruz Action Network or some other far left-leaning group. Now, I don't see how you're going to line up those statistics about students only being 50% liberal with their actual voting record.
Well, you know, maybe you're right. I know
that
people who are citizens of this country of a certain age are entitled to vote.
Data.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on your words. Would you repeat that?
No,
I said the county elections department will be happy to provide you with that data. It's statistically accurate. Mr. Hartman has studied this extensively. I'm surprised he didn't bring it up. But I also have studied it extensively, as have any number of people in this community. And that is the main reason why we would really like to see the university become separate from the city of Santa Cruz so that their votes do not impact our local community. We have enough of an impact with everything else the folks up there are doing, Long's Marine Lab, the TI building, the Holiday Inn, and you guys can do it without even asking us. So it would be very nice if you would consider removing the university from the city limits.
I don't know if it's a fair question for Liz to weigh in on that subject. If it's not, we understand.
Well, I will go and let you speak with some other of our community members, Michael. Thank you for the time.
Okay. Thank you, Al. You want to weigh in on that question, or rather... Or
you mean
rather
whether
not,
we should... we are not in the city limits per se, although there is a small section of the campus that is in the city limits. We are a state agency ensconced on 2,000 acres, abutting the city of Santa Cruz. Our students, faculty, staff, and others are, any of us, are entitled to vote when there are items on the ballot, and how they vote and what influences them are, we're all exposed to the same range of ideas when it comes to the political agenda.
Okay, we have quite a number of callers here and only 12 minutes remaining. We have a stop set of commercials. So, Noah, if you'd kill the promos, please just run the commercials. We will be back in just a few moments here on hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special. Stay with us. We're in the home stretch.
My name is Troy, and I met my fiancé on eHarmony.com.
My name is Tom, and I met my fiancé, Brenda, on eHarmony.com.
My name is Jack, and I met my wife, Jennifer, on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the thousands of eHarmony matches. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. we go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today and get your free personality profile.
Hi, my name's Daniel, and I found my fiance Allison at eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy couples out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Motorhomes, Doubles, Fifth Wheels, factory authorized clearance sale. March 19th through the 28th, Monterey Fairgrounds. You'll save thousands of dollars. New and used. If you want it, we have it. If you ever thought of owning your own RV or towable, there's no better time than now. Winnebago, Bigfoot, Forest River, Alpha, Lexington, Wildwood, Sandpiper, and Weekend Warrior. Diesel pushers, Class A's, Class C's, Fifth Wheels, new and used. Financing, we've got it. Super low payments, 2.99% fixed rate. You heard that right, 2.99 financing. Bring the family, bring your friend. Factory authorized price slashing event. Monterey County Fairgrounds. It all starts Friday, March 19th. No reasonable offer will be refused. Be there. This is the opportunity you've been waiting for. You'll get more for less. Hosted by RVs of Merit. 2.99% financing fixed rate for 10 years. $19.99 selected models or newer on approval of credit.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet specializes in business services. Whether you need a T1 or T3 or just a place to host your website, GotNet has a solution to fit your needs. GotNet offers server colocation and custom website development. We have e-commerce servers, streaming audio and video servers, and Cold Fusion and database servers available to handle your hosting needs. GotNet understands that businesses rely on the Internet, and we work hard to assure fast, reliable service. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. Got net?
This is your favorite radio station, KSCO, Santa Cruz, California, 1080 on your dial.
And welcome back to hour number two of the Saturday special. We're in the home stretch. 9 minutes remain, and Noah informs me that all our phone lines are full. We're going to try to get to everybody. Let's go to our next caller, Jane, on line three. Let's bring Jane up and welcome her to the Saturday special. Jane,
hello?
On the air. Hi, you're on, Jane.
Yes, I just wanted to comment, and I'm really, really interested in how there's tremendous amount of anger in this community, and unfortunately, these people are not very well educated. Because I can vouch, I graduated from the University of Santa Cruz, and I also have taught there. And I can see that among my students, there is an incredible array of balance because not all the students are liberal. And in fact, many are very conservative. So I don't know where they come up with these statistics or information. I think they're in a totally different reality.
What about the elections?
May I finish, please? Sure. Because you didn't interrupt anyone else, so please give me that courtesy. So the other thing that I wanted to say, this attack on Mecha and on Chicanos on campus. You know, this is the group that is very underrepresented all over the country. Because they have a group that's called Mecha or they have La Raza, that doesn't mean that they're abdicating the overthrow of the government. That's not at all. And if these people only read about it, they would understand that all they're advocating is equality. And it's about time people had equality in this country and not continue to be invisible. The other question is the attack on the dirty attack on Angela Davis and Michael Rockin. First of all, these poor, ignorant people don't know that all over the country, universities over this country hire very highly exceptional individuals who have contributed to the community and to the world. And if they know, if they go to any university in this country, it could be a conservative university, it could be any university, they will find individuals who have contributed and who may not have PhDs. So I would ask these individuals in this community to please read a little bit more and please get more informed and stop being so ignorant. That's why we are in the situation we are in this time and place, because of the ignorance and racism that plagues this country. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for calling the Saturday Special, Jane. Let's go to Paul on line one, take Paul's call. Welcome to the Saturday Special on AM 1080.
You know what? Paul dropped off, MZ.
Oh, okay. Who's on line one? Anybody?
No, line one is open right now.
Okay, so is Bruce there on line seven? Or Jenny on line four?
Bruce, on line seven. You're on the air with MZ.
Hi, I called to respond to Westside Al. I'm a conservative, which is I'm a libertarian. In World War One, the draft age was 21. They lowered it to 18, and basically during the Vietnam War, they lowered the voting age to 18, which gave a disproportionate amount of votes to communities that had colleges in their area. I think if you're going to be drafted at 18 and you can sign legal contracts at 18 and everything else that comes with being an adult, you get the vote. What needs to happen is to bring the age of the majority back up to 21. And that way UCSC will no longer have an effect in the community.
Ooh, okay. Well, that's going to be like a national thing, isn't
Never
it?
Never happened. Never happened.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Thanks for calling Saturday Special, Bruce. Let's go to Jenny on line four. And welcome, Jenny, to the Saturday Special.
Hi, Michael. This is Jeannie.
Oh, Jeannie. Okay.
Yes, very important. There was a congressional committee that actually, the counsel to that committee was Renine Wormser. And he wrote a book called Foundations, Their Power and Influence. And this lady that's very soft-spoken, speaking up for the university, she mentioned Carnegie. And that is a piece to the puzzle. Because on this congressional committee report, they found three foundations that were extremely Marxist socialist, and that was the Rockefeller, the Ford, and the Carnegie foundations. And they were working to get inside the education, the government, and the media to convert our nation into a Marxist socialist nation. And that's what's happening. Our university, UCSC, is a very Marxist social university. And also the other university on the other side of the bay, where Clinton came in his helicopter and praised that university, we're surrounded by Marxists.
Okay. Jeannie, thanks for calling the Saturday Special. We only have three minutes left. Let's take Richard's phone call, line five, okay, on the Saturday Special. Let's bring Richard in.
Hello, Richard. Hello, Mike. How you doing?
Good, Richard. What's up?
Yeah, I just had a couple of quick questions. I didn't know that we were surrounded completely by Marxists and socialists in this Bay Area here, but it almost sounds to me like Leela made a mistake by moving up here. And I was going to ask Liz. Are you a liberal or a conservative?
Gosh, you know, I've never thought of myself in either way. It depends on what the issue is.
Well, are you a Democrat or Republican? That's pretty much what it boils down to at UCSC, right?
Do you think so?
Well, I don't know. I'm uneducated. I've never been to a college, so.
Yeah. No, you know, it doesn't seem to me that it's fair to attribute a political party affiliation necessarily with a particular adjective, liberal or political. I look more at how people act and what they say when they're in an argument, whether that characterizes them as liberal or conservative.
Well, no, I meant you personally.
Oh, me? Yes, I understand you knew that. I knew that's what you were asking.
Well, I mean, if L. Dick Medill would tell us whether you're a Democrat or Republican, right?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
The man that handles all the voting. He just quit,
the
by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know if
you know
that, Mike.
I heard a rumor about that. Is it more than a rumor?
Richard
Medill, the county clerk.
He's planning to retire at the end of this fiscal year.
Yeah, he said he should have done it sooner.
So
I don't blame him.
But
the thing is that... you know, all I've ever heard is that the UCSC was a liberal type of school and that, you know, there was no space for any other line of thinking. And, you know, that's fine and dandy with me, but the thing is why not just come out and say it?
All right, Richard, thank you for your call. We have one more caller who's been waiting a long time. Let's take Nick's call on line two real quick as the last caller to today's Saturday special. Nick, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I'm a student, and I'll make this quick because I know we're approaching the end. I just wanted to share a quick story. I was trying to transfer to UCSC last quarter, and the admissions evaluator told me that it wasn't a school for me based solely on my religious affiliation. I told her I was, are you ready for this? I'm Catholic. Told her I was Catholic, and she essentially right then said, oh, well, you know, it doesn't seem like the place for you. I was transferring from a Catholic university, a conservative Catholic university. And
So you obviously didn't listen to her, and it sounds like you got in anyhow. Or are you a student someplace else?
No, actually, I transferred to Santa Clara, where they were much more helpful and willing to look at my transcripts.
We're at the end of the program, but you know what? I'm going to make an executive decision here. I want Liz to ask you the question that she's ready to ask. I can feel it. Go ahead, Liz.
Well, I don't know if it's a question or a comment. I believe it might even be illegal to ask religious affiliation. You know, we don't discriminate on the basis of background, including religious connection. So I'm just wondering how that could have happened I'm sputtering because it sounds so implausible to me. Was it something that was part of your admissions process, or this is very confusing?
It was no mystery that, you know, to them that I was Catholic. I came from, like I said, a very small, very Catholic, very conservative college.
Right.
And I was trying to transfer, and she looked at my transcripts and she looked at the materials that I'd studied.
Forgive me. She who?
She the admissions evaluator counselor.
And this is a normal part of the process where everybody gets interviewed personally. Is that what happens, Lee?
It is.
It actually is going to become more and more difficult to get into UC Santa Cruz because we can't accept all of the UC eligible people. But again, to my knowledge, there is no consideration of a student's either political or religious perspective in determining whether they are admissible.
Sure, I understand that, but that's not what happened with me, at least on that level. I don't know.
Okay.
I know,
wow. That's disturbing, but we're happy that you shared that with us, and we're beyond the end of the program. So, Nick, thanks for calling in. Do you listen to KSCO normally?
I do, very, very frequently.
Great.
Because the radio in my car is broken, but
okay.
I will do that more.
All righty. Well, thanks for calling and participating today. Speaking of thank you, I really want to thank Leela Beckwith and Liz Irwin for participating in one of the spiciest Saturday specials of all time. And if you want to hear this program repeated on demand, you can do it real easily just by getting on your computer and typing into your browser www.saturdayspecial.com, and it will start playing. Now, if you do that right now, what you'll hear is last week's Saturday special, okay? It takes us a couple hours, you know, to go ahead and upload the latest Saturday special, and then it plays for the next week. Another way to get there is to go to our website, ksco.com, and click on Saturday Special in the left margin. Also, if you want to hear a rebroadcast of this program on the radio, you can tune in tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight. Again, thanks very much to Liz and Leela, and to Kay Zwirling and Rosemary for putting this together, and to Noah for being a great pilot in command. So the news is already in progress here, but we will say goodbye, and I think we are ready to go here, okay? Here.
Goodbye, and thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
See ya. Bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
You are tuned to KSCO Santa Cruz AM 1080. We now join USA Radio Network News already in progress.
Connie Lawn, USA Radio Network News, Washington.
Ohio shooting suspect Charles McCoy has waived his right to an extradition hearing and could leave Las Vegas as soon as today. Appearing pale and a little tired, the fugitive shuffled into the courtroom in chains yesterday and agreed to return to Ohio, where investigators believe he is the gunman who carried out 24 brazen highway shootings around Loop 270 that's in and near Columbus over the past 4 months. USA Radio News.
This is Larry King with groundbreaking news about Alzheimer's disease. A recent population study published in a major medical journal suggests that high daily doses of vitamins C and E may offer protection against Alzheimer's when taken together in the higher levels available from individual supplements. More reason than ever to take C and E daily. While Ester C was not the vitamin C used in this study, Ester C is the patented non-acidic vitamin C that I take every day. Ester C.
With all of the world ugliness yesterday, battles against terrorists, assassination attempts in Taiwan, it was a tough day to make money on Wall Street.
There were down arrows across the board. The Dow tumbled 109 points to 10,186. The S&P 500 posted a decline, and the NASDAQ fell 21 points to 1940. For the week, the Dow lost a half of 1%. The NASDAQ slid about 2%. Looking at the bond market in Friday trade, the 10-year note fell to yield 3.77%. I'm Conway Gittins at the New York Stock Exchange.
All three major stock indexes saw a second straight losing week. Trading was pretty hectic because Friday was a quadruple witching day, the expiration of all index and equity options and futures contracts, and investors took the opportunity to adjust their portfolios into more defensive positions. More news at USA Radio. Radio.com. Kurt Lewis with news on the USA Radio Network.
Less music, more talk.
News Talk 1080 KSCO.
Good afternoon to everyone out there on the beautiful central coast of California. You are tuned to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It is 5 minutes past noon on this Saturday, March 20th, 2004, and I am Noah James with your central coast weather forecast. Today, some areas of coastal fog and low clouds, otherwise mostly sunny skies. Highs from around 60 at the ocean to upper 70s well inland. An afternoon sea breeze up to 15 miles per hour. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for this afternoon, northwesterly winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 1 to 3 feet, and a westerly swell 2 to 6 feet at 11 seconds, with some areas of morning fog.